Our first scripture passage this morning is from Genesis, and it concerns the Lord's call and promise to Abram. This is the first of three divine speeches in which a patriarch is given travel directions and promises of blessings. The combination of the command and promise implies that the Lord's fulfillment of the promise will follow upon Abram's fulfillment of the command. Hear now from Genesis 12, 1 through 5. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse you, and I will curse the ones who curse you. And in all your families of the earth, you shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai, and his brother's son Lot, and all of the possessions that they had gathered, and the persons that they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan.
The second scripture reading for today is taken from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. The Gospel of John tells us that Jesus' teachings and his healing people on the Sabbath particularly troubled the religious leaders of the Jewish law-abiding sect of the Pharisees. But one of the Pharisees, named Nicodemus, was impressed with Jesus and his actions. He considered him an inspirational spiritual leader and wanted to learn more from him without alerting his fellow Pharisees. Let us listen to the story of their encounter, as told in John, which you can find on page 93 of your pew Bible. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after growing old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world may be saved through him." Here ends our readings. May God bless us with understanding.
Well, so far, so good. I haven't gotten lost in this big, beautiful building in these last 2 weeks and a few days, or gotten lost in Concord that I know of. I haven't tripped over these chancel steps or insulted anyone that I know of. There has been this thing with the singing bowl that's kind of tripped me up a little bit. But neither Hjalmar nor Bob have taken me aside yet to say, I think we made a mistake. But here I am delivering my inaugural sermon at Tricon, and all bets are off. I am reminded of a preacher's son who inquired, Mommy, I notice every Sunday when you come to the pulpit to preach, you bow your head. What are you doing? She explained, I'm asking God to give me a good sermon. The little boy replied, then why doesn't he? Let us pray together anyway. Loving and merciful God, full of grace, abounding in love, the sure route to that which is fulfilling, true, and hopeful. We offer ourselves as open as we are to the work of your Holy Spirit. And we ask that you would open us even further to receive the good news that is here for us this morning. In the Spirit of Christ, we pray together. Amen. I'm so looking forward to getting better acquainted with you. And bits of my story are going to start to come out little by little in the sermons and in our dealings with each other. Here's one of them. About 12 years ago now, Steve and I packed up the U-Haul to make that big move from Seattle to Boston. We packed up the U-Haul and with the possessions that we had already downsized, and we were already finding it hard to get them all into the truck. In fact, we had to leave some of those objects, those last-minute things, and take them out so that the truck doors would close. Then we packed up our suitcases into the car. We put Stripey and Blackie, our cats, there in. And we started down I-90. Without full funding or jobs waiting for us back east here, our son Nathan had already settled into his freshman year at Hamilton College, back east, as people in the Northwest call this part of the country. And he was a freshman, as I think I might have said. His mom and dad were coming closer to him, like it or not. And but I think back, and it was a journey in faith, reminiscent of that of Abram and Sarai. And now, a sojourn in Concord, Massachusetts. We could never have guessed back then that the call of God would bring us to this place where American history, literature, and the beauty of the New England natural scene would, that they coalesce like a kind of a womb that could be for us rebirth. What a gift. So I picked up my old college textbook and to read Thoreau's Walden again. It seemed fitting. Recalling how the young adult Thoreau, Harvard educated but without a sense of clear vocation, left his parents' home in town for Walden Pond. And reading his words again, I perceive traces of Nicodemus's nighttime trip to Jesus. I went to the woods, because I wish to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not, when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. So it is that God calls us from our settled existence to journey in faith. The impetus for this trip might be joyful and chosen, like the send-off that we get after our wedding reception. Or it can be something frightening and by chance, like the loss of a job. Last week, the situation we heard about was Moses and the ex-slaves traveling in the wilderness toward the promise of God and that new land. And last fall, for you, it was the retirement of John Lombard after 23 years of settled ministry. And somehow you heard Tricon go into that unknown territory of an acting senior minister and the search for a vision. Then last January, for the United States, it was the change of a president and the dramatic shift in agenda and leadership style. The youth's refrain in the Tom Bates skit last Sunday resonates with all of these examples that I have mentioned. Yep, they said, it's going to be different. Very different. When God calls us to leave our settled existence, to journey in faith, we naturally wonder, where are we going? And how do we know God's call? This is the question that sounds very familiar to you if you've been listening to the three questions of transition work. The third of them is, what is God now calling us to be and do now as church? In other words, as Wendy Vanderhart preached last Sunday, you are seeking to name your why. Why do we exist? No one Bible verse is going to answer that question for you, and not instantly. No one sermon is going to say that all that's needed to say, and no one single person is going to be able to fill in the blank for you. It's going to take time and relationship and prayer. But this morning, what can we glean from the lectionary text, the two of this day, about from those who have journeyed in faith following the call before us? First, when God calls, we can expect, as was the case for Abram and Sarai, that the message will be, go out. Go out and be a blessing. Years before, Abram's father, Terah, had heard a voice, and he gathered up the whole family to go to Canaan from Ur. They got as far as Haran, and then the family stopped and stayed. But when Terah, his father, died, Abram got that itch and started to hear a divine voice that we have recorded in Scripture that says, go out from here to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and you will become a blessing to all the families of the earth. So we can begin to recognize God's call when we start to see the road that we are walking as a journey outward in faith to others. God's call has that dimension of meeting people that we don't know, of entering into circumstances and places and situations and worlds with that open hand of blessing, the blessing that God wants for the whole world. And this certainly fits with Jesus' nonpartisan command. Love your neighbors. And it fits with God's outward journey, God's outward incarnational journey through Jesus to save the so loved world. Secondly, when God calls, we can expect, as was the case for Nicodemus, that the message will come to us. Go in. Go in and be born of the Spirit. You know, I don't think I'd really noticed it this way before this week, but when Nicodemus protests the impossibility of re-entering his mother's womb, I noticed that Jesus doesn't respond, "No, I know. You're right, Nicodemus. Isn't that silly of me?" Instead, he keeps this important lay leader on the edge, an uncomfortable edge of his understanding, that edge of transformation, and he says, "No, really. No, really, Nicodemus, truly I tell you, you must be born anew from above. You must discover your real self in relationship to God and to others." In The Color Purple by Alice Walker, Celie's sister Nettie comes back from a long mission trip in Africa. And she says to her sister Celie, "What I knew about myself before wouldn't even fill a thimble." We begin to recognize God's call when we see the path that we are treading as a path, a journey inward in faith, a kind of reverse birth, where we start to trace back what it is that has shaped us, our inner longings, our strengths, our weaknesses, our God-given gifts, finding all this along the pathway and growing in the Spirit so that we do become, over time, fully able to love our neighbors as ourselves. I'm indebted to Gordon and Mary Crosby, the founders of the Church of the Savior in Washington, D.C., for the help that they have been in being able to see the two journeys that are a part of Genesis and John this day. Because this couple started that faith community back in the late 1940s as a way of a new way of being church by nurturing the inward journey and the outward journey. This particular church in that urban area started with cell groups intentionally involved in discipleship, members who were committed to vulnerability, accountability, and service, which naturally and organically then became mission into the context around them. They developed the Potter's House as just one of those, which was one of the first coffee house ministries in that day and time. This was their customized journey in faith to their particular call from God. Well, in this time that I've been here, I see Tricon taking steps in and out. I see Tricon taking steps out in faith by your worship experience 2 summers ago that you gave the name Exodus to. And hearing all of the buzz about the youth mission trip, it must be so meaningful because adults are saying, we want to get in on this. And then in our transition question, who is our neighbor? And what are the needs of our neighbors? I also see Tricon taking steps in toward each other and into the womb of God, if you will, in your small group work. These small groups, as I hear tell about it, they're going deeper, and they're starting to attract more to come and to be involved. And then during now what we're calling Evolve 2017, looking at that other transition question of who are we now and who are we becoming? Jesus goes in and out with us here and now during Lent and on beyond. We can count on that because he has already gone that journey in faith, inward into that deeper prayer communion with God, the Father or Papa, as we have it, as Jesus referred to God. Along with all the self-examination that went with that. Jesus, too. Who am I? What am I made of? What is my purpose? Can I trust God? Can I trust myself to go the distance? And his outward journey from a more settled existence in Galilee to Jerusalem, even to those who would resist, reject, abandon, betray, and kill him, to ultimately fulfill God's original vision. As you go, you will become a blessing to the entire world.